Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless you. We thank you, God, for this wonderful opportunity, Lord, to assemble together, Lord, to receive your word, Lord, to be recipients, but not only that, not only just hear it, but to be doers of your word today. God, we pray, Father, that you will anoint this place. It's already anointed, God, but give us an anointing for hearing and understanding and comprehending and committing, Lord, to do better, Lord, to go from where we are to where we need to be. God, we honor you. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
I'm not a doubter.
I believe the word of God. I accept what it has to offer. Jesus, you are my Lord. You are the author and the finisher of my faith. Your word is the final authority in my life. In Jesus' name. I am a believer. All right. If you turn to the book of Revelations, chapter 2, we'll start at verse 1. If you have it, say, I have it. To the angels of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you. How many of y'all know this is Jesus' revelation to the church, praise God? Not John's revelation. John was a messenger, but it's Jesus talking to us. Jesus talking to the church at Ephesus, but it applies to us as well. It would be wonderful if we could have Jesus that sent a letter to New Life. Amen. Help us get on track. It'd be nice if he sent one to Cross Culture and every other local church, wouldn't it? Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Now look at all these good things that he said. I know your works. I know your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear, that you don't put up with no foolishness. You don't put up with evil, and you have tested those who even say they are apostles, and you have the discerning of spirits, and you know they're lying, and you have persevered, and you have patience, and you have labored for my name's sake, and you haven't even been weary. That's like my mama said, when I would bring my grades home to my mom, and I would be so excited with my A's and my B's, and mama would say, "Oh, that looks good, son." She said, "But mama just wants you to have some common sense." She said, "Them grades are good, but there are a whole lot of folks that are geniuses and they crazy. I just want you to be able to make some good decisions. I just want you to be able to discern what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's evil. I just want you to do what we are teaching you to do, to live the way we're teaching you to live." She didn't want us to have good grades. You know, I come from an educated family. My mother was very instrumental in making sure that we got a good education. And so we have nothing against that. But, you know, Jesus was saying, y'all have done a lot of good things. And it looks really good on the outside when other people are looking at it. And even when I look at it, it's good stuff. That's what Jesus said. But nevertheless, where else did you see nevertheless? Where else did you see nevertheless? When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and then he said, "Lord, if there's any way, you can remove this cup." But then he turned around and said, what? "Nevertheless." Well, that nevertheless means just forget all that stuff I just said. Because I'm getting ready to tell you what the real nitty-gritty is. We're getting ready to get down to business. That's what Jesus is saying. This is what you need to be taking care of, because a lot of times the things that we're doing good, you know, we praise ourselves for it. and we don't focus on things that ain't going well. And a lot of things we are doing in our church today is we've been doing it for a long, long time, and it ain't working. And the last time I checked, if you keep on doing the same thing and getting the same results, expecting a different result is what? Insanity. But we even get caught up in doing that right here in our own church. My title today is Make Sure That the Main Thing Remains the Main Thing. Look at somebody and say, make sure that the main thing remains the main thing. See, because we know what's important to God. It's His will and His desire that all men be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. That's the will of God. That's His desire for the whole entire world. He made it clear when He sent His Son Jesus. The Bible says, for God what? So loved the world that what? He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I think that's the main thing. See, when you get to heaven, you know, some of us say we're gonna sing and shout and we're gonna turn it out and we're gonna do a whole lot of stuff. But some of us are gonna have to get some stuff straight up there that we didn't get down here. I remember when I got saved. How many of you remember when you got saved? Remember when you met Jesus? That was the absolute best day of my whole entire life. The best day. Somebody said the best day. Amen. That was the second best day. Amen. But that was the best day. When Jesus came into my life, I will never, ever forget that day. November the 7th, 1977. I had gone to college. And what happened when I was in college, my senior year, my freshman year, my sophomore year, my junior year, I was boogieing. I was doing everything I was big enough to do. Amen. But after I got through and I'm getting ready to almost graduate, and see the prayers of my mother and my mother sharing her testimony with me, and my mother always making sure that every time I came home from college that we were going to have a conversation about Jesus. She wasn't scared of me. She wasn't scared of none of her children. She was going to share Jesus with you. If you're coming in that house, you're going to hear about Jesus. So she planted the seed. She watered the seed that she planted, praise God. And God gave the increase. And all of us are saved, praise God. But I remember on that day that Monday morning, 8 o'clock, I got down on my knees to pray because that's what I always did. Because my daddy was a preacher, so I was in church all my life, so I knew about praying. Didn't know how to pray, but I knew about praying. So I got down to pray, and this time something happened. This time something happened. And man, tears started to roll down, and I started calling on the name of Jesus, and songs that I had sung, Amazing Grace, and songs that never meant anything to me, I just sung them, but now they all came clear to me. I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I'm found. Man, that thing became a reality to me that day. And I was so excited, I started calling my parents and told them I was saved. My dad said, I thought you were already saved. He started calling the preachers and telling them that my son been called to preach. I said, oh no, Dad, I just got saved. No, I just got saved. But 8 months later, I was sitting in the church. It was after I got saved, I was so excited about the Lord, I would go to our church, then I would go to the Holiness Church. I was trying to get everything God had. So I would go to that church, and I was sitting there that evening. And the preacher was preaching, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And man, it was like nobody was in that room but me, him, and God. I forgot about everybody else. And that moment, I knew that God had called me to preach. And so I was so excited, I couldn't wait till the service was over. Ran up to him and tell him, you know, man, God done called me to preach. He didn't know me from Adam, so it didn't really mean anything to him. But it didn't take away from my excitement. Man, I was so excited about the Lord. And so a month later or so, you know, I preached my, what they call my trial sermon. And so I went from there and was ordained in the Baptist church. And then I was doing well with my dad, and something kind of happened between us. I can't remember what it was, but I had fasted 7 days. I was getting ready to do a youth revival at my dad's church, and we didn't agree on something. And so I got the left foot of fellowship. So he didn't really put me out. But I knew my brother who was wiser than me, he said, God is not the author of confusion. He said, this is not your church. So I realized that it was time for me to go. But I didn't have nowhere to go. But guess what? God already knew. That 7-day fast was not about a revival. That 7-day fast was about God getting me to the place where he wanted me to be. I met somebody who told me about Abundant Life Church. Met somebody downtown. And so I came to Abundant Life on a Wednesday night. I walked in the door, and there was a lady at the door. Come here, baby. There was a lady at the door. Put that down, because you can't have that in the way you're getting ready to do me. Amen. I walked in the door, and the lady name was Grace Jones. My. If you ever have had a hug that you know didn't have nothing to do with it, didn't have nothing else added to it, but it was a Holy Ghost hug. And it wasn't like this. It wasn't like this either. Come on. Man. Okay, you sit down. I know you enjoyed it. But when I came into Abundant Life, we were at the Episcopal Church on Peyton Road. And when I walked in that night at that front door, and Grace Jones hugged me, man, it took all the weight and everything just went away. I came in that night, and they were singing probably, "This Is the Day That the Lord Has Made," amen. And they were doing this. Whoo! it was the most exciting a bunch of people I'd ever seen. So I knew that I was at home, that this was the place, man. I couldn't wait till Pastor Walker got through teaching Bible study that night. And I jumped up when he gave the invitation, and I said, I want to be a member of Abundant Life Church. That was 42 and a half years ago, and I've been here ever since. And then on January the 3rd of 1981, I walked into the Bell South, used to be Bell South down at 675 West Peace Street. I walked in the door, and I saw this lady. And I told my coworker, I said, I believe she'll make me a good wife. Didn't even know the woman. And so anyway, she was a receptionist, and we got a chance to chat a little bit. I started giving her Bible study. You know, when I go by, I give her a scripture and just ministering to her that way. And she had her eyes on me. So 11 months later, from January to December, she didn't ever take her eyes off me. And so I told Pastor Walker, would you please go ahead and marry us so we won't get in no trouble? Praise God. Say, make sure that the main thing remains the main thing. See, there are a lot of things, that I've done, a lot of things that you have done, and perhaps there are things that you are doing right now for the kingdom of God. But sometimes we do stuff that ain't that important. Sometimes we get caught up in things that, I just remember when church was so easy, when church was simple. I mean, when I came to Abundant Life and we were at the Episcopal Church, and then we moved over here on Decatur, and we went to what the Bible place that we spoke We had the Baptist University. Hey, they shut us out of there. We went one night, the gate was locked. No more. So Pastor Walker said, we're going down the street. We got a building down there, man. And we had to go in there and clean up and just so much stuff. But it was time after time. But you know what? We were so excited about Jesus. We didn't even have no chairs to sit down in. We had no chance. We were so excited about Jesus. And every time when people came to church, their lives were changed. Don't we talk about transformation? We saw transformation take place. Every service, people's lives were getting changed. They were getting saved. People were getting delivered. Amen. She got delivered. She was rolled all over. You remember Francine? She rolled all over the floor. I said, if she'll do that for Jesus, I know she'll do it for me. So that got me right there. I couldn't wait to get married. She gonna get me for that. But it is so important for us as we live our life in Christ, as we walk this journey, for us to reevaluate. For us to reassess, for us to look at, you know, what we are really doing in the kingdom of God. Is this wood, stub, and hay? Is this stuff that's going to be burned up? I have never seen so many church folks. Man, the enemy, the devil, is such a schemer, such a, I don't know what you want to call him, but the Bible says for us, we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. So how do we get so caught up in stuff? How we get so caught up in mess? Amen. Come to church, worship the Lord. Now, don't be those people that says, I don't want to do nothing but just come to church. I just want to get the word and leave. I don't want to have nothing to do with nobody. You cannot be a member of the body of Christ and have nothing to do with people. It's all about people. It's all about others. It ain't even about you. You ought to esteem others more than yourself. It should always be about, you know, Lord, what can I do for others? God, how can I impact lives? Lord, how can I make a difference? Because this is not just about us in here. Do you know, folks, most folks ain't even coming up in here? And since pandemic, a whole lot of them that were coming up in here ain't coming up in here. So what are we going to do? We gonna sit up here and cry because folks won't come to church? No, the Bible says go into the hedges and the highways and you compel them. Compel them. Don't just compel them to come to church. Compel them to come to Jesus. And let your life be the life that they can look at, praise God. On your job, wherever you are in the marketplace, people ought to see something different in you. Every place I've been, every job I've had, there's some kind of Bible study going on. Amen. I almost got fired one time because the manager said, he said, you got to stop all of this Bible stuff. He says, I'm getting complaints about you. I said, who's complaining? I said, because when I do Bible study, it's on my break. When I do Bible study, it's at lunchtime. You can't fire me for that. You don't fire them by looking at Playboy at lunchtime. You'll get a big lawsuit, man. You try to find me. I ain't that dumb. But I was representing Jesus Christ. Who are you representing every day of your life? On your job? Wherever you are in your community, do people know who you are? Do people know who Jesus is? It's time for the church to rise up. You know, the church is kind of getting backed up in a corner, trying to be politically correct. You ain't gonna win that one. You may as well forget it. Amen. You just gotta stand up for Jesus. Don't you understand that if you go all the way back to the book of Acts, that they were willing to give their life for the gospel? Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because I know it is the power of God unto salvation. If you ain't willing to die for this, you can't live for it. If your life doesn't mean, you know, I tell my people all the time, they can put a gun in my head right now and say, man, you better say you don't believe. Hey, I ain't gonna say that. I am not gonna deny Jesus. Because the Bible says if I deny him, amen, he'll deny me before men. I'm not going to deny Jesus. I don't care what. You can't give me $1 billion. Nothing you can give me to make me deny Jesus. Because I know what he did, he did. Hey, see, I know what the Lord did for me. See, I know what he did inside of me. I know the person that I was. Amen. And he brought me out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we got to take a look at this scripture. He says, repent. He says, repent and come back. Is that what it says? Repent and come back. They said, well, we'll come back to what? We ain't left the church. We still here. Yeah, but what you been doing? You've been here, but where's your heart? The Bible talks about, you know, you honor him with your lips, but your heart is what? Let me encourage everybody in here. Church ain't perfect. Church ain't perfect. Pastor ain't perfect. Elders ain't perfect. Deacons ain't perfect. Nobody is perfect. So if that's what you're looking for, I can just tell you, you'll never find it. But when I came to Abundant Life, I already knew how to be committed. I go to work every day. I be there on time. I do what they tell me to do. Hello, I did that all the time. So when I came here, I didn't have a problem following this man. He's a leader. Do what he tell me to do. I missed one Sunday. He probably don't remember it, but I remember it like it was yesterday. I missed one Sunday not coming to church. My wife came to church. I didn't come. I had the devil in me. I did. Why you ain't going to church? I don't want to go today. But after she had left, you know, I thought about it. Like, man, I got to see Pastor Walker. I got to look him face to face. And I got to explain to him why I wasn't at church. And, man, y'all ever had to do that? Y'all ever been to the office? So I realized that not only did I have to give an account to him, but I had to give an account to God. But from that time forward, that was just one time. And he might not even realize I wasn't there. But the important thing is that, you know, I am committed. I'm committed to new life. Praise God, till they run me away. I'm committed, 37 years. Amen. And I'm so committed that by God's grace, I have not ever missed a Sunday from New Life because I was sick. Not one. Been there every Sunday, praise God. But this is important. You need to decide for the rest of your membership, for the rest of your time that you're going to live for Jesus, and I hope that's until Jesus comes, amen, that you're going to be wholly committed. Say wholly committed. That you're presenting yourself to the Lord, your spirit, your soul, and your body. See, you can't give God a part of you, can you? You just got to be all. So what I'm saying to you, it's less don't be half-hearted when it comes to the things of God. Amen. Don't have the take it or leave it attitude when it comes to the things of God. Don't say, you know, I may be there, I may not be there. You know how we do when we don't really want to make a commitment? And see, there are a lot of people across cultures, there's some. Down in New Life, there's some. In every church, there's some. You're just kind of hanging out there because you don't really want to make a commitment. But God, that's the only way God operates. With God, it's all or nothing. God can't be second. He's got to be first. So you put God first, and then God will take care of the other things in your life. And see, there are a lot of things that will take care of themselves if you just make a commitment to God. Amen. There might be people here today I'm talking to that you've been committed at one time. You lived for the Lord, but now, you know, you kind of in and out. Some of y'all just out, okay? But see, the love of God says no matter where you are, I'll take you right where you are. Ask the prodigal son, because he went away, didn't he? He went all the way. He left home, took the money. that his father gave him, went off in righteous living. But then he realized something. The Bible said he came to himself. He said, I believe I need to rise and go back to my father. There's some people here today that need to just come back. I'm not talking about come back to cross culture. Amen. If that's what God is telling you to do, you need to do that. But you need to just get your life right with him. We're living in perilous times. These are dangerous times. Amen. These are the worst of the worst. And the Bible says in the last days that things are going to get worse. But I'm not getting worse. I'm getting better. Amen. It doesn't affect me because I'm more than a conqueror. It doesn't affect me because I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. It doesn't affect me because if God is for me, who can be against me? In all these things, I'm more than a conqueror, praise God. They ain't just words I say. Amen. That's what I believe. He always causes me to triumph. I know there's some things that I've got to get right with God. There's some things that I need to repent for. See, the main thing needs to be the main thing. The church needs to be concerned about the world. The world ain't concerned about the church, but the church needs to be concerned about the world. When we leave here, we're going back into the world. Everywhere, all in the business world, we're going back into the entertainment world, we're going back into the LBTG. Cute world. Did I get it right? We're going back into that world. We don't need to be afraid of these cultures. Well, we need to infiltrate these cultures. How are we going to be transformers if we don't touch them? Why are we scared of homosexuals? Or we turn our nose up at them? Or we act like we better than Hispanic people? What's wrong with us? We're not better than anybody. We just got God. He got us. He apprehended us. Amen. Now we need to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ so that they can be apprehended too. But we're going to have to stand before God. We're going to have to give an account for the way we're living and the life and the example that we're setting before the world. Because it looks like we don't understand. It looks like we don't get it. It looks like we don't know that God has placed us here for such a time as this. Amen. This is our time. And we can have a great impact. We can make a great difference if we would just infiltrate the cultures. And we can actually make a difference and transform this world. Praise God. Y'all stand up. If you're here today and you haven't received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not certain today about your life and if you died today, if you'd actually go to heaven. You don't know. You've never made that profession of your faith. You never confessed your sins to the Lord. But today is the day of salvation. And he says, when you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Because there's always going to be another voice saying, stay where you are. It ain't time yet. You don't need to do it right now. You know you're not ready. All of those things. But God is speaking now. God is speaking now. And he's saying, come. Come if you're weary. Come if you're tired. Come if you're heavy burden. Heavy laden, just come. He said, my yoke is easy. My burdens are light. He'll just receive you just like you are. Praise God. Yes, sir. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory. Bless you, sir. Yeah, just come on. Just come on. Let the Lord do what he wants to do in your life today. He's the only one that can make the difference. I don't care what your relationships are. He's the only one that can make the difference. Praise God. Bless you, sir. Praise God. Come on. Hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes. He's saying, come, 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 come right now. Just yield yourself. Just yield yourself to him. Yes, it's a new day. It's a new day. See, the Bible says if anyone is in Christ, that person is a new creature, that the old things have passed away. And behold, he says, all things are new. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory. God bless you. God bless you. Praise God. Come on. Amen. That's good right there. Love you. Praise God. If you've already received the Lord, but you know that your life is not where it needs to be right now, see, Jesus said if you confess your sin, that he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He's faithful and he's just. It doesn't make any difference what you've done, where you've been. He will do it for you. You need to rededicate your life to the Lord today. Come on. I'm going to pray a simple prayer with you. Pray a simple prayer with you for you to just pray and repeat after me and ask Jesus to come into your heart. Want to do that? Is that what you want to do today? Amen. Praise God. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you now to forgive me of all my sin. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Savior and my Lord. I confess today that Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. And by my confession and my belief, I am saved. Thank you, God, for saving me and setting me free. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, church. Come on, give God praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Now, we need to repent. How many need to repent? Amen. I don't know who else needs to be. I know I need to repent. Praise God. Amen. If you haven't been, you ain't been focused. You haven't been laser focused on the things of the kingdom. Amen. If you just come down here, we're just gonna repent together. Amen. But we want to get on track. Praise God. Y'all want to take them? Take them to the counseling room. Praise God. Amen. Come on down. Come on down. Lord, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Take my life.
Take my love.
I offer it to you as a living sacrifice.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
Father. By your grace.
Thank you, Lord.
By your grace. And
by your love.
Oh God, help us, Jesus. Help us, Lord. Oh God, Lord, we just want to say we're sorry. God, we're sorry for missing the mark. We're sorry, God, for not loving you, God, the way that we need to love you. And see, our love for you is evident, God, about the way that we're living our lives, oh God, and how much we're loving people, and God, and how passionate we are about, Father, bringing souls into the kingdom of God. So, God, we ask you to forgive us today. God, we repent right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, that you are faithful and just, oh, God. Oh, God, that you'll forgive us for sin that we committed or even things that we omitted. And so, God, we just bring it to you right now. We bind up selfishness in us, oh, God. Father, Lord, we pray, God, Lord, that you will give us the compassion, Father, that Jesus had. Oh, God, Father, when we saw the people, oh, God, Father, that they were scattered and had no shepherd. God, I pray for us, oh, God, Lord, that we would be reconcilers. God, that we would be ambassadors for Christ. God, that we would always be ready to give an answer of the hope that's within us with meekness and fear. That we will not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, because we know it's the power of God unto salvation. You said, neither is there salvation in any other, because there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. So God, I pray in the name of Jesus that we will walk worthy of the Lord, that our life will be pleasing unto you. God, that we will bear forth much fruit in the name of Jesus. Father, let yokes be broken in our life. God, if there's any unforgiveness in us today, God, Father, Lord, we are willing to release people right now in the name of Jesus. God, we refuse to walk in bitterness and clamor. Oh, God, Father, we refuse, oh, God, Father, Lord, to hold grudges right now. God, we refuse to be backbiters, oh, God. Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, we declare, Father, Lord, that we are free indeed. Hallelujah. God, because you have made us free in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you and I praise you, oh God, that your word says whatever we bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So we thank you that heaven is backing us up right now in the name of Jesus. You say where two or three agree as touching anything that it shall be done. Oh God, we thank you. We praise you, God. Oh, that yokes are broken right now. That lives are being healed at right now. That restoration is taking place in our lives right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, I pray that you will renew our strength right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, heal our hearts, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we pray that your word, oh, God, Father, will be paramount in our lives. God, I pray in the name of Jesus, oh, God. Father, Lord, that we'll have a hunger again and a thirst, oh God. Father, for righteousness, oh God. In the name of Jesus, we bless you, oh Lord. We bless you, God. Make us true worshipers, oh God. Oh God, we don't want to worship you in any way, but in spirit and in truth. In the name of Jesus, glory to God. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God, for cleansing us, oh God. Thank you, God. Oh, God, Father, Lord, for redeeming us right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, we commit to walk in a new way, God. Father, to live our lives, Lord, in a way that's pleasing to you. Oh, God, Lord, to accept our assignments, oh, God. Father, to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit right now. Oh, God, about where you want us to go, oh, God. What you want us to do, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. And, God, we declare right now like Isaiah, Lord, if you need somebody, here am I. Send me. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give God praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Amen. I hope you're ready. Because the devil, you know, he's waiting at the door now for you to change your mind. Amen. Just go ahead and tell him. I ain't changing my mind, devil. Amen. It's over. It's over. It's over. It's over. Amen. If God is for you, who can be against you? Amen. Go and sin no more. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.